Henry goes home and stays in bed for 3 days, according to the doctor's instructions. Then, toward midnight of the third evening, his wife Rita comes home and is startled to find him gone.
Jackson? Jackson?
Yes, Mrs. Drake.
Jackson, where's Mr. Drake?
Why, Mr. Drake is in his room.
But he isn't. He's gone.
Gone? But I didn't see him go out, ma'am.
When did you see him last?
Why, it was about 9:30. I looked in to see if there was anything he wanted before I retired.
What did he say? Was he dressed?
No, ma'am. He was in bed. He said he didn't want anything and that I might as well turn in.
Where on earth could he have gone on a rainy night like this?
Well, shall I go out and try to find him, ma'am?
No. No, never mind, Jackson. You can go back to bed.
Yes, yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Can't imagine why on earth he'd go out when he wasn't feeling well. Hello? Phil? This is Rita. I just came in and Henry isn't here. I don't know. The butler said he saw him at 9:30 and he was in bed. Why would he go out in a storm? What reason could he possibly have? No, I don't think so. I hope he doesn't. Yes. Good night, Phil. Yes, I'll see you tomorrow evening if possible. Good night.
As Rita hangs up the receiver, she suddenly realizes the library door is closed, but a streak of light shows beneath it. She steps quickly to the door and opens it softly.
Henry.
Huh?
What are you doing here?
Oh, hello, Rita.
Why aren't you in bed?
In bed? Why, I don't know.
Who are you phoning?
Phoning? Oh, I was just thinking about phoning the doctor. I wanted to talk to him.
At this hour of the night? It's 12 o'clock.
12? Yeah, so it is.
Wait till morning.
Yes, yes. Anyway, I can't remember what I wanted to say to him.
Where have you been?
Where have I been? I haven't been anyplace.
But you must have. Look at your top coat. It's soaking wet. And look at your shoes. They're muddy.
That's strange. I don't remember having gone out. I thought I'd been sitting right here all evening.
But it's obvious that you haven't been here all evening. You have been out.
Perhaps so.
This is the second or third time you've come in with your shoes all muddy. Where do you go at this time of night?
I tell you, I don't remember.
I don't believe you.
Whether you do or not, I don't remember where I've been.
It's the silliest thing I ever heard of. A man like you, an intelligent man, walking around in his sleep.
But I couldn't have been asleep. I know that much.
Nonsense.
Oh, don't be so impatient, Rita. I don't like this any more than you do, but I'm sure I'll be all right in a short time. Dr. Schultz will pull me out of it.
Well, I hope so.
Have you been out, Rita?
Why, of course. I told you early in the evening I was going to play bridge with the Parkers.
Oh, perhaps you did, but I don't remember that either.
I told you just the same.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rita. I know this must be very trying for you. It isn't very pleasant to have a man mope about the house all the time.
Better go to bed, Henry, and get off those wet clothes.
Oh, yes. Rita, why don't you go away for a few days? Take a little rest. I know you're terribly upset about all this, and well, it would do you good.
It wouldn't be exactly right for me to go away at a time like this. What would people think of me?
Oh, who cares what people think? You could go up to the mountains or down to Miami or, well, any place. Maybe by the time you come back, I'll be all right.
Do you want me to go?
Oh, I don't want you to go, but I think it would be good for you. You're becoming upset because of me, and I think you'd worry less if you got away for a few days.
Very well. Perhaps you're right. We'll talk about it in the morning.
All right. Good night, Rita.
Good night.
Henry sits for a while staring at the telephone, then gets up slowly and shuffles up the steps to his room. He pauses for a few moments before Rita's door, then goes on to his own room and goes to bed. The storm continues in its fury, and from his kennel in the backyard, Duke, Rita's Airedale, begins to howl. Finally, the storm subsides. Morning comes, and Henry joins Rita at breakfast.
What's the matter, Henry? You haven't eaten a bite.
No. I'm not hungry. I don't feel at all well this morning.
You do look pale. I've never seen you so haggard.
No?
What's the matter with your hands?
My hands?
Well, yes, you... You keep staring at them and flexing your fingers.
Oh, well, I don't know. They seem to have... Well, it feels like rheumatism.
Have some coffee.
Yes, yes, I believe I will.
Here you are. Oh, good heavens. All over the floor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just seem to have no grip. Getting bad. I can't even hold on to a cup. Rita. Rita, what have you decided about that trip? I wish you'd take a few days' vacation.
Oh, you sound as though you want to get rid of me.
I'm only thinking of you.
Very well, if you insist. I'll go up to the mountain place. Maybe it'll do us both some good.
Oh, Mrs. Drake! Mrs. Drake!
Jackson, what on earth are you so excited about?
Something terrible has happened.
Terrible? What do you mean?
I don't know how to tell you. It's awful.
What are you trying to say?
It's Duke, your Airedale.
What's happened to him?
He's dead. I just went out to the kennel to unhook his chain, and there he was, ma'am.
Oh, good heavens. Well, what happened to him?
He's been strangled. There he was beside his house, and his tongue sticking way out. Oh, it's awful, ma'am.
Strangled? But why? Who?
Well, maybe he got tangled up in his chain, but it didn't appear so, ma'am. Somebody did it deliberately.
Oh, the poor fellow. I can't imagine such a thing.
Wait a minute, Rita. I wouldn't go out there.
Oh, but I must.
Please don't. It'll just upset you. Please don't go.
Very well. But, oh, I'm just sick all over.
Oh, now, Rita, I know how you feel, and it's a shame. Jackson, tell the maid to pack Mrs. Drake's things. She's going to the mountains for a few days.
Henry Drake sits staring at his hands for a few moments, opening and closing them, opening and closing them. Then suddenly he leaves the house and rushes to Dr. Schultz's office.
What is wrong with you, Drake? You weren't to come here today after tomorrow.
I had to see a doctor. Something terrible has happened.
Now. Just calm down. Take it easy. Sit down, Drake.
It happened in the night.
What happened?
Duke, my wife's dog, he was killed last night.
Killed? Well, how did that happen?
He was strangled, choked to death.
Well, who did it?
I must have done it.
You? Oh, come now. What makes you think that?
I can't remember a thing about it. I can remember nothing of last night, but I must have done it. Because of my hands.
What's wrong with your hands?
They hurt. The muscles are terribly sore, as though I'd been doing something strenuous.
I see.
And look at this mark on my thumb. It's a long cut, as though something sharp dragged across it.
You mean like a tooth?
Yes. Why not the dog's tooth?
Certainly does. You really think you killed the dog?
What do you think, Doctor?
Well, I suppose it's possible. But there's no proof. Could be coincidental.
I don't think so. I must have done it. He never disturbed the neighbors that I know of.
Did you like the dog?
Why, of course. I was very fond of him. Don't you see what this means? I've been afraid of something like this. Heaven knows what else I've done when I've been in these lapses. You've got to do something for me.
Drake, I'm going to have to put you through all the tests. It'll take some time, but I think we can get at the root of your trouble.
Oh, do anything. Anything you say.
We'll start right now. Miss Burton, get Dr. Fenton. I want him to assist me in a complete examination.
Yes, Dr. Schultz.
Now, Drake, just relax and continue staring into this little beam of light. We want you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Yes.
You're crossing a street. An automobile suddenly bears down upon you. You see?
Yes.
In an effort to save yourself, you jump out of the way.
Yes?
You jump forward or backward?
Why, backward?
Why?
I can jump backward quicker than I can forward.
Repeat after me as rapidly as possible. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 8, 9.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9.
You have no children?
No.
But you are married?
Yes.
Suppose you had a child. You come home at night and discover your house is on fire. Your wife and child are alone, asleep on the second floor. Will you try to rescue them first or call the fire department?
Call the fire department?
I see. Get all that with the timing, Miss Burton?
Yes, Doctor.
Now, Drake, keep your eyes on the black dot. Follow it closely as it moves. I'm going to call out a series of words. As I call them, you will answer the word or phrase suggested by what I say.
Yes.
Green.
Grass.
Roses.
Funeral.
Orange.
Sunset.
Honeysuckle.
Home.
Violets.
Wife.
Red.
Blood.
Dog.
Hands.
Auto.
Wreck.
Rain.
Mud.
Love.
Hate.
Very well, Drake. Rest for 10 minutes and we'll proceed to the next test. How do your hands feel?
Huh? Oh,
Why, about the same.
All right. Come with me, Miss Burton.
So on through the day, at various intervals, the psychiatrist continues his examination. And finally, Drake goes home completely exhausted. For an hour or two, he dozes in the library. Then about 9:30, Jackson, the butler, steps into the room.
Beg pardon, sir.
Huh? Where have you been, Jackson?
Why, no one was here, sir. I went over to visit my brother for a few hours.
Where's Mrs. Drake?
Why, she's gone to Miami for a few days, sir. Said to tell you she thought she'd better go today. Took the 6 o'clock train this evening.
Oh, I see.
Anything you want, sir?
No, you can turn in if you like.
Yes, thank you, sir. Good night.
All right.
Henry sits staring into the dark for almost an hour. Then slowly he rises, as if in a daze, puts on his hat and coat, slips out of the house, and starts to walk about in the night. Finally, he comes to an apartment house, climbs to the top floor, and knocks on the door.
Henry, what are you doing here?
I want to talk to you, Phil.
Well, come in. What's the matter with you? Sit down.
I don't want to sit down.
Well, just as you like. What do you want to talk about?
You have your bags packed. Are you going someplace?
Why, yes. I'm driving down to Boston for a week on business.
On business?
Yes, on business. I tried to reach you today, but was unable to. What on earth's wrong with you? What are you staring at?
You sure you're going to Boston?
Certainly I'm sure. What are you laughing about?
You aren't going to Boston. I know where you're going.
I tell you, I'm going to Boston.
I don't believe you.
What are you talking about?
Rita's gone to Miami. Why don't you go to Miami, too? Wouldn't you like that better? I think that'd be very jolly.
Oh, for heaven's sake, stop this nonsense.
Is Rita here?
Certainly not. Why should she be here?
I wonder. Couldn't you think of any reason?
I think you're out of your mind.
Do you? Really?
You certainly act like it.
Oh, but I'm not. I'm perfectly sane.
Oh, crazy people think they're sane.
Maybe I am crazy, but I don't feel crazy. I'm perfectly normal.
You better go home. You're in no condition to be wandering around.
Where's Rita?
I don't know where Rita is.
She hasn't been here?
No.
You're lying, Phil. She has been here.
That's ridiculous.
Look, here in the ashtray, one of Rita's special-made cigarettes.
Why, I put that there. I thought I'd try them.
Really? When did you take to using lipstick, Phil?
All right. She was here, but she left to catch a train at 6 o'clock.
And you'll catch the next one, is that it?
She came here to talk about you. She's terribly upset about your condition. She thinks... Well?
Well? What does she think?
She's become afraid of you.
Oh, has she? And what caused that?
Well, she... Why wouldn't she be upset? You've been acting like a lunatic. She thinks you killed her dog. Did you?
I don't remember. Maybe I did.
I've got to hurry. My train leaves in half an hour.
There's no train for Boston for 3 hours, but the train to Miami leaves in half an hour.
You'd better go home, Henry.
Why don't you admit it? Why lie about it? You're meeting her in Miami.
Get out of here.
You and Rita are in love. I know it. I've known it for weeks and weeks. Last night I found out for sure.
You're crazy.
Maybe I am. But I heard you both talking on the phone. She didn't know I was listening in on the extension in the library. I heard you agree to meet at a certain time. That's what I've been waiting for. Now I know.
All right. What of it? Well, you've been acting is enough to make any woman dislike you.
Oh, so you admit it.
Yes. Now get out of here. Henry, put away that gun.
All right. I'm going to leave it right here when I'm through with it. I'm going to kill you.
You insane fool. You can't get away with a thing like this. You can't prove anything about Rita and me. They'll hang you.
I don't think so. Don't you remember? I'm crazy.
I'll fix you. Police department.
Go ahead. Call them. That's fine.
Hello? This is Phil Putnam, Rexley Apartments. There's a madman in my room. He's trying to kill me. He's crazy.
What a shame, Phil. You've missed the train.
Well, it's all over, Henry. You can sit down now and wait for the police. You won't have any more mental lapses now, will you, Henry? You won't need to. A slick job, Henry, and very beautifully planned. Everyone knows about your mental lapses, your illness, your desire to harm people. Rita knows about the dog. Your secretary knows about the contracts. And most important of all, Dr. Schultz knows that you've been suffering from a mental disorder for weeks. Oh, there'll be a trial. Your plea will be insanity. You'll go away for a while, and then all of a sudden you'll be cured and walk out a free man. Now we're in the courtroom. Dr. Schultz, the psychiatrist, is speaking.
Mr. Drake came to me with his troubles some weeks ago. Later, Dr. Fenton and I psychoanalyzed him thoroughly. Here is a signed statement of our findings at that time, attached to our findings as of yesterday. Henry Drake was then, and is now, absolutely sane. The whole thing was a plan to escape the death penalty for premeditated murder.
Well, there you go, Henry. The whole thing blew up in your face. A beautiful plan gone haywire. You should have spent less time thinking about your revenge, Henry, and more time studying psychology. Too bad.
CBS has presented The Whistler. Original music for this production is composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The Whistler is written and directed by J. Donald Wilson and originates from Columbia Square in Hollywood. Next Sunday, 9:15...
I, The Whistler, will return to tell you the strange story of death in the morning. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.